Welcome, everybody, to another Thunder Buddies podcast. I am Brett Dawson. I am in San Antonio. I am in what is called the Spurs family room. There's nobody here but me. I'm recording a podcast. It's late. The Thunder just lost to the Spurs, 103-99. Eric Horn is in Oklahoma City. Eric, what's up?
Brett, as we say, the Major League, you know what I'm going
to
say.
I do.
They're not so poopy, but they did some poopy things tonight. Here, and we'll discuss that.
We will. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And the one thing I want to get out of the way and say right now, before we get into all the other stuff, the Spurs defense is good, and it was good tonight. So the Spurs played good defense. DeJounte Murray, Greg Popovich called it his best game as a pro, and you can see why. He was really good defensively. He gave Russell Westbrook a lot of trouble. And not just like Westbrook got into the middle. He got into the teeth of the defense. The thing was he got like chewed up when he got in the teeth of the defense because Murray is long, and he gave him some challenges. The help was there. It rotated. The Spurs were really on point in terms of just like helping on the Westbrook thing and using that length at the basket. They were really good in pick and roll. Steven Adams talked about kind of the way they play it and the way they play defense and the way they kind of take away some of your space. And then they have that length. So Westbrook was often trying to shoot these awkward shots or leaving these even more awkward kind of dump-off passes. None of that was working very well. So they did a really good job on him. And that's the one thing I want to make sure to credit San Antonio, because we're going to talk a lot about some other Westbrook stuff that was Westbrook being bad. So first, I want to talk about the fact that San Antonio was good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're one of the top three defenses in the league for a reason. Really good. Like you said, DeJounte Murray, Danny Green's a good defender. Kyle Anderson, he's a guy who's long and, not the most athletic guy, but he plays proper positional defense. And, Paul Gasol is smart and LaMarcus Aldridge are smart players that have a lot of length. So they're disruptive, man.
Yep,
they're a disruptive team. They're well-disciplined. And they give Westbrook issues with that pick and roll. And so I guess we'll get into this, but I just kind of have issues with, we talked about this before with Darnell Mayberry, who's brought this up to us. I think at some point this season he brought this up to us. I don't understand the over-reliance on Russell Westbrook to initiate offense.
Yeah.
You had a situation tonight where Paul George had 6 assists.
Yep.
He was a guy who created for people. And I just don't understand why it always has to come down to, or more often than not, why Westbrook has to be on the ball so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that the really good defensive teams can really zero in on what Russell Westbrook wants to do at times. And I think you saw that toward the end of the game, not with his not with the threes he missed, but on the key turnover he had where he drove, he got up in the air, he didn't have anywhere to go,
yep,
and he went to dump off to Steven Adams, and it turned into a turnover, and that was effectively the game.
Yeah. I do think about – I didn't think about this in the moment, like after the game immediately, but when you say that, Paul George was really good tonight for the most part. Like, he was 9 of 20 from the floor, which is like, that's not bad, especially given the way he's been shooting the ball and the way everybody shot the ball tonight and the way the Spurs played defense. He made 3 of 6 threes. He got to the line and made all his free throws. But you're right in that he had 6 assists. I feel like most of those were early because they do go kind of away from him. As a, whoa.
Sorry, that's my dog.
That's a good podcast debut for the dog. It's excellent.
Yeah, yeah. It's the dog is a good guard dog, so yeah. She does her job properly.
So I think Paul George was doing stuff for other guys. He was particularly looking for guys in the corner when he drove. I liked a lot about the way he played. I didn't like everything about the way he played tonight because, boy, did he laze his way to a layup attempt that got swatted. And a play that not only resulted in them not getting 2 points, but it ended up, because there was a transition opportunity afterward for San Antonio, it ended up with Westbrook getting his 4th foul. That ended up not really being a factor at all. But at the time, that was all a bad sequence all in all. But, yeah, there are people who are saying tonight to me on Twitter, like, why didn't Carmelo Anthony get any shots in the fourth quarter? He had been actually shooting the ball well tonight. you can't win with Carmelo Anthony because it's like the last game it's too much shooting, and then this game, why doesn't he get any shots? But you're right in that they play the same way they did last year when Westbrook was really the only guy you could count on in the fourth quarter, when theoretically they should have some more guys now.
Yeah, it's an over-reliance at times. And, like, I don't know if that's necessarily you put it on Russell Westbrook or you put it on Billy Donovan. I'm not sure. I think that we need to ask more questions about that, and maybe we should have been asking these questions earlier in the season. But I just think that when you're particularly going up against a defense that's as good as San Antonio's, you have to throw variation in there. You can't be route one. You got to have an alternate plan. And I think that, you know, continually running Russell Westbrook off pick and roll and trying to get him, you know, downhill, I think it's predictable. I think that if you can swallow him up with one guy, which San Antonio can do as well as any team in the league because they just have such sound, competent defenders.
Right.
You can play those passing lanes when he's ready to kick out. And, you know, he had one drive where he kicked out. And it was just so easy to read because he was looking for Corey Brewer in the corner.
Yep.
So,
yeah, the other thing is you gotta
find an alternative. You gotta have some different ways to break down a defense. And every time late in possession, you know, late in the game, you know, the Thunder's not gonna run the same offense as San Antonio or some of these teams that spread the ball around the way they do. But it just seemed very predictable what was gonna happen at the end of the game.
Yeah, the three pointers were bad. I mean, they're just bad shots. Westbrook is. He's a spotty three-point shooter. He's not a great three-point shooter. He's often not even a good one. And those were bad shots. And those are the kinds of shots that, look, if he makes those, and he's done it before, they're great heroic plays. Whatever you're doing with that paper, by the way, you should stop doing it. Or whatever it is.
What paper?
I don't know. Are you not wrestling a paper?
I don't know what I'm doing. Whatever.
Okay. Right. Anyway, I hear a sound. There's noise that I'm picking up here.
I am not sounding anymore. Okay. I will no longer sound.
Right. That's really a service to the listener, is what I'm doing there. I care. I care about you, people. And I've kind of sort of lost my train of thought, but it was about Westbrook. Oh, it was about Westbrook shooting threes, which, you know, he has made those three-pointers before. We've seen him make those weird kind of way too deep threes in clutch situations. And if he hits them tonight, we're talking about what a hero he is. But that's sort of the definition of hero ball, which a lot of people like to sort of look down on, and there's a reason why people look down on it. Those aren't great shots. They're only good shots if they go in. Those were really ill-advised shots, and you just have a roster now where you can get a better shot than that. One of those, the real terrible one, there was like 5 seconds on the shot clock when he took it. Like, there's no need for that.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's got to be annoying for Billy Donovan. It's got to be annoying for Billy Donovan having to attempt to defend Russell Westbrook because he can't throw him under the bus.
Right.
It's possible. And for the people out there who say that he should, I don't know, throw him under a bus or hold him accountable or bench him or whatever. You know what? You tried doing that to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
10 years into his career, you tried doing that to Russell Westbrook. And if you say that that's part of the Billy Donovan problem, well, that's a Sam Presti problem because Sam Presti hired Billy Donovan. And he essentially hired a coach that can't tell the best player what to do. So it's like,
right.
Look, it seems like we go through this like every few weeks where we get to a point where we're like, hey, who can tell Russell Westbrook what to do? Nobody can tell Russell Westbrook what to do, but Russell Westbrook.
Right.
Like, or his teammates have to come to an intervention and say, hey, look, you gotta stop taking bad threes. And to his credit, he hasn't taken a bunch of, like, his threes are down this year, but you got to know time and place. It's always time and place with Russell Westbrook. That's always the situation.
Yep.
Last year it worked. This year, not as much, and you got more weapons around you, so find another way.
And we should point out again, tonight, like, so these guys have been in significant shooting slumps. But tonight, Paul George and Carmelo Anthony were 6-for-9.
Yeah, they shot well.
I mean, like, those two guys are making shots. So you got to, you know, I don't think that Carmelo, when he shot the ball that way, should go a whole fourth quarter without getting a shot. Now, Paul George got a three. He got fouled on a three. They didn't ignore Paul George. And maybe they're just – maybe whether it's the offense they're running or it's the way Westbrook plays, maybe they're just not capable of involving both those guys in the fourth quarter. Maybe that's just never going to happen, that it's going to be Westbrook and then the other – one of those other two guys can get some stuff. And tonight it was Paul George as opposed to Carmelo. But what would be nice is if you had an offense that just kind of engaged everybody. That's, you know, that's not what we're seeing.
Yeah, and it's a scary proposition for the next 5 years if you have to have the ball in his hands at all times. It just doesn't really make sense that it has to be that way.
I mean, like, we were watching this tonight. Look, Paul George is a really good half-court offensive player. He makes some pretty good reads. Like, he's weird in transition. He does weird stuff. He, like, tonight he threw a pass to Westbrook for a layup that was, or a dunk that was just, like, he threw it, like, 900 miles an hour when he didn't have to. And, like, he does some awkward kind of stuff in transition. But in the half court, he's pretty good. He's got that herky-jerky way of getting by people with that weird crossover and some of the odd sort of moves he makes. And he has he's getting a pretty decent feel with Adams in pick and roll. So you could run a little bit more of that stuff. In the half court, he's fine at that stuff. And they probably should do a little more of it.
Well, it just gives you more options, too. You know, I mean, Russell Westbrook is a cutter, is a dangerous player.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook is a spot-up three-point shooter. He's competent. Like, he's not competent off the bounce. He's below 30%. It just seems like, logically, you would find other avenues to score points or to facilitate offense than just relying so much on Russell Westbrook to do everything. We say that he's this energizer bunny that can go all the time, but we saw the weight that it put on him last year.
Yeah.
I mean, and for him to play, you know, more minutes this year, granted less load in those minutes, I think, because of, you know, the offensive contributions of some of these other guys.
Right.
Still, I bring up, against good defenses, you've got to have some variation. You've got to throw a change up every now and then because the Warriors, you know, people inside the Warriors have said before, Russell Westbrook's easy to guard. It's not that he's easy to guard, but you know what's coming.
Right, yeah, sometimes you can't stop it.
Knowing what's coming is easier to guard rather than, you know, maybe Paul George and Steven Adams getting in a pick-and-roll situation or Russell Westbrook cutting off the baseline.
Right.
Like, or Russell Westbrook cutting from the top of the three-point line or the corner of the three-point line. The break is
or a little, line, or maybe like a little pick and pop with Carmelo Anthony, which we've been like campaigning for all year.
Right.
Like that's a thing that they don't do all the time. So maybe it's a different wrinkle that you throw at him. You know, with all this stuff said about Westbrook and how he played, and he was not great, obviously. If he and Adams, well, I mean, Adams missed two free throws. If Adams and Westbrook shoot a little better from the free throw line, if the team doesn't miss seven free throws, they're going to win.
Besides Raymond Felton,
if the bench had a pulse tonight outside of Raymond Felton, like if people had showed up like living, I will say, actually, Patrick Patterson, we can't bag on him too much. He was 3-for-3, but he was 3-for-3 and minus 17. It's not like he played great. He just made some shots. And the rest of those guys outside of Felton and Patterson, I mean, that was a nothing burger from those dudes.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
horrible.
Abrinas 0-for-3, Grant 0-for-3, Ferguson 1-for-4. Those guys were just, you know, like, also, like, Terrence Ferguson, like, I think the kid's got a whole world of potential. Some of those open threes, you could just put the ball on the floor.
Yeah, like, just pull it down. Pull it down.
Put it on the floor. You can swing it. You can swing it to somebody else, or, like, use this crazy athleticism you have. Put it on the floor and try to go by somebody and see what you can do there. You don't have to take them all. Every shot he took tonight was a three, and he doesn't need to be playing that way. He's too athletic and not a good enough three-point shooter to be playing like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't help the bench to me when – now I think the Thunder only had, like, 15 turnovers of the team, but I didn't think they were particularly – I didn't think they valued the ball very much tonight.
Yeah.
Particularly – they were just bumbling the ball all over the place. Paul George, Russell Westbrook, I think they might have had 10 turnovers between them.
Yeah, and at the beginning of the game Kyle Anderson kept kind of just tipping the ball away from guys. Like, they would kind of beat him, and then he would just poke the ball loose. That happened to Paul George twice. The Paul George fast break, it really bugs me. I mean, that's not a turnover, but it's not a valuing of your possession. Go dunk the ball. Like, go, you know, like Danny Green does that sometimes. Go dunk it.
Yeah, there were a lot of possessions just left on the table where they didn't, like, you know, Billy Donovan will always say, like, you know, even though we didn't make the shot, I thought we generated a good shot or something. I think that they really struggled to generate good shots tonight.
And that's, like, the first thing he said tonight. That was the first thing Billy said, was they just struggled to create good shots.
And part of that's San Antonio's defense. Part of that's just turn the ball over too much. Like you're not going to generate a good shot if you're just bumbling the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
I thought Steven Adams' finishing wasn't strong in certain areas. I think he could have finished stronger at the rim.
5 of 11 is a bad night for him. I mean, that's like a really bad shooting night by his standards. Dude shoots 63%.
Yeah, he's got to finish stronger at the rim. You know, there was that bad turnover he had off the offensive rebound where he basically just passed it right to Patty Mills, and then Davis Bertans pops out the three, and as soon as you see him just kind of just popping out the three, you're like, oh, that's good.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh man.
Yeah, he was 2 for 3 totally tonight, so he's now something absurd like 12 of 22 against the Thunder this year, something like that. That possession, there are two possessions right there, and I wrote about these in the game story. The Steven Adams one was the second one, the rebound that he threw away to Patty Mills. That ended up in a three. So did the – Paul George took a two-point jumper the sequence before that that really looked like Paul George had the ball and said, it doesn't look like there's anything good here. I'll just take this. Like, it was just a shot – it was like a shot out of just giving up. Like, I don't want to swing the ball and try to do anything else. I'm just going to take the shot. And they missed it. And, you know, the Spurs come down and they get a three. And those are killer momentum type plays. The Spurs had a lot of stuff like that where they just got the Thunder. They go to the Thunder into a bad shot, or they got a turnover. And they just found so many ways to capitalize on stuff like that. They did such a good job of capitalizing on stuff. I walked out of here thinking – not walked out, I'm still here. I walked away from the game thinking, like, the Spurs kind of look ready in terms of, like, they do the little stuff you got to do to win games like this. And we still haven't seen that with any consistency from the Thunder.
Yeah, and it might get a guy fired.
Could.
Look, I mean, we see it with Boston. Boston does all the little stuff they need to do. They value possessions when needed.
Yep.
We saw it against Boston a couple nights ago against against the Jazz.
Utah, yep.
Just bearing down, running offense in the last second to get Jaylen Brown that game winner. We saw it against the Thunder in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it against the Thunder in Oklahoma City. We saw it the Spurs tonight do what they needed to do and execute well in the last few minutes. You know, we've seen it from the
– Portland did it not only in Oklahoma City, but then went and did it in New Orleans a couple nights later. Portland's not the greatest example because they lost to the Grizzlies, but come on, they lost to the Grizzlies on a back-to-back without Dame. That's fine.
And look, if the Thunder's not going to if they're not going to get home court advantage, they're going to have to steal one.
Yeah,
and they're not going to steal one missing free throws.
Right. and not valuing the ball.
Yeah, because if you get the six and you got to go to Portland, you're not going to win a game in Portland doing the stuff you've been doing against these elite teams like Boston and San Antonio. It's just inexcusable.
And that's the thing. They've played the Spurs pretty even, which, I mean, you can argue that's sort of sad, you know, because they were supposed to be – you know, the Spurs don't have their best player. So, like, the fact that this is such an even series over the course of the season is not a great sign for the Thunder, because the Thunder should be better this year. But, like, even though they've played them very competitively, like, you wonder – you don't feel confident that they would come in here and win a game. Like, even – because they've lost both these games. The games here have been very competitive, but they've lost them both.
And now you don't feel confident that they're going to go to New Orleans and win. I mean, I don't think you felt confident they were going to go to New Orleans and win before.
Right.
But – you know, your last two road games have been pretty telling in terms of late game execution, just coming up just woefully short.
Yeah, and it's funny because the game that wasn't like that, obviously they go to Toronto, they beat a great home team. But, like, Westbrook was superhuman in the fourth quarter, and you're supposed to sort – the point of this offseason was to get to where Westbrook didn't have to do that for you to win these games. And yet, that's the only kind they've won of these games, these good playoff caliber teams that are in the playoffs, who they're now like 19-19 or something like that against teams that are currently in the playoffs. Against good teams like that, you shouldn't need him to do all that stuff. And that's the only way they've won these games. So now, here's the one good thing going for the Thunder is, like, Westbrook was bad tonight and he had a fourth quarter that's going to be very scrutinized and he had 7 turnovers. And so, like, he may do his, like, Westbrook adjustment and come back and be great the next couple of nights. And they could use that because they're going to have a hard time with Denver just because it's a home game and Denver's been real bad on the road. But second night of back-to-back, Denver's hungry. Like, they're going to have to do some work to get that. And then New Orleans is, like, that's a real deal. Like, people keep telling me, like, well, is New Orleans the best playoff matchup? And I think, like, maybe, but, like, let's see them beat New Orleans. Like, do that once.
Right. And we keep saying the Spurs are the best playoff matchup. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, I might feel better about that if they'd won this game.
Yeah, one of the two games you played against the Spurs this year, you beat their C squad.
Yeah,
and the other one, you know, was a solid win at home. But you haven't beat them on the road.
Yep.
You haven't beat New Orleans at all. You haven't beat Portland at all.
Yep.
And you haven't played Minnesota in 16 years, but you lost 3 out of 4 of them.
Yeah, and it was the same thing. You know, like they played Minnesota except for one time. They played them very competitively, but they didn't win a road game, and they didn't win a close game. I guess they won one.
So, like, basically the only team that you'd – look, frankly, I don't feel confident about the Thunder going into a series with any of the teams that they're about that are in playoff contention, because they're not playing particularly well late in games on the road. They have not – they don't have any tiebreakers against a good handful of the teams.
Right.
The only team, ironically, that I would feel like, you know what, this might get interesting is Golden State. Because Golden State, because Kevin Durant came back tonight and he got kicked out in the second quarter.
Yeah,
like that they're just a team that's just basically just sleepwalking to the playoffs right now, just to keep themselves healthy first and foremost, or get back to health, and then they're just playing games of no consequence.
Right? Yeah, because they're not going to catch the one. They don't care anymore about getting it. It's really just about getting healthy. And like, the thing about the Thunder is like the whole thing about flipping the switch. I believe Golden State can do it because they've won in the playoffs together as a group.
Yes.
They've won a championship. A lot of these guys have won 2 of them together. And the time they didn't, these guys went to the finals. They've played a ton of games together in the playoffs and had great results in the playoffs together. These guys have not done that. And so I don't believe in this idea that the Thunder can flip the switch. Now, I do believe they could be a better playoff team than they are a regular season team just because, strictly because of minimizing some of those bench minutes. But I don't like the idea that the guys who play at the start of the game and the end of the game are just going to be dramatically better players in the playoffs. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's still enough time for these guys to get a little bit of a rhythm. It is a big positive that Paul George and Carmelo Anthony saw shots go down today.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing, particularly going into, you know, a game where you're gonna turn right back around and get to shoot again and get to play again. I think
against
that's
a team
good
that,
for those guys.
Against a team that won't guard you. I mean, like Denver's not a bad
team
but they're not going to.
Yeah, and they're in the last game of a 7-game road trip, and they're going to be just ragged. And no Gary Harris tomorrow.
Yeah.
Denver's defense is abysmal. And they've won 2 of 6 on this road trip, so they're just straggling.
Like, this is one where the second night of a back-to-back doesn't get you out. You got to win it. Like, you just have to win. You can't lose to Denver tomorrow. Like, I don't think you're going to miss the playoffs if you do it, but, like, you just can't.
Right.
That's if you think you're a legitimate, you know, if you're thinking you're going to do something – The team that's going to do something beats Denver.
Yeah. Well, you can't go an entire week at this juncture without winning a game.
Right.
Like, that's you just can't have it when it's log jammed as much as it is right now.
Yeah.
Aside from, I guess the only other thing I had to ask about the game was, did anyone ask Steven Adams what was going on in that play where Aldridge basically just walked to the basket? At the end.
No, you know what?
Where was the help?
Yeah.
And what was Steven Adams doing just letting him basically just turn the corner?
You know, so much stuff happened in the game that I actually forgot about that play. And I had asked Steven some questions about their length, and we got into some pick and roll stuff. And, like, it just totally slipped my mind because I was so focused on the Spurs defense that I didn't even ask anybody about things that the Thunder didn't do defensively, which included stop LaMarcus Aldridge on that play, which is like, Aldridge was killing him with those shots that those Aldridge shots, you know, like the shots that he makes his turnaround mid range jumper is just, you can't stop that if he's hitting it.
Yeah. There's nothing.
But like LaMarcus Aldridge cannot do what he did there. Like that can't, like Anthony Davis can do that. You know, Carl Towns, that happens. But, like, you can't let that happen.
That was the play where I was, like, where I was a little bit incredulous about the Thunder's defense. You know, Russell Westbrook was doing the thing he does every game where he doesn't really stay in front of anybody. I mean, that was standard fare.
He got pretty timid in that fourth quarter, in that third quarter, too, and he had the 4 fouls. Like, he just didn't go to anybody at all.
And
which is fine.
The three-point line was an issue for them
for
most of the night. Danny Green and, you know, Mills. But Aldridge turning the corner on Steven Adams like that was just shocking for me to see. There had to have been a miscommunication. I didn't understand what happened on that particular play. I might have to ask someone about that tomorrow. But Adams looked like he expected someone to be there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you just don't expect guys to go around Adams that easily. It just doesn't happen.
And especially not that guy. Like,
no
offense to LaMarcus Aldridge. He is a fine
that
player.
In that moment of the game, you were like, you're like, what? What is going on? It was just strange to see. But, you know, another another bumble of a performance by the Thunder against in a game that they needed.
Yep. Yeah, they're so I looked at, I double checked my my spreadsheet here. 19-19 against playoff teams. 9-14 against Western Conference playoff teams.
Hey, you know, you figure they're going to have to play one of those in the playoffs, right?
So, you know,
since they're in the same conference, they're going to have to play one of those teams, right?
The one we haven't talked about when you talk about matchups, like, they have played great against Utah. They've played really well against Utah. Now, that was so long ago that I don't even remember how they beat Utah.
And I'm pretty sure that two of those games were without Rudy Gobert.
Exactly, which is like makes them totally different. It's like if you it's like saying we beat the Thunder twice and Robertson didn't play. Like that's the kind of, you know, that dude has a legitimate Defensive Player of the Year candidate, like a legitimate case, and he's going to miss a ton of games, and yet you still can make a case that he's Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, the first time they played them was the second game of the year, and that was still when Russell Westbrook was in I'm trying to figure stuff out mode. Yep. But at the same time, I think Westbrook took like 11 shots in that game. At the same time, Rudy Gobert just completely shut off the paint.
Yeah.
It's a completely different game.
Yep. Also, they had Robertson in all those games.
Right.
And Robertson does like Donovan Mitchell still got numbers, but they made him work real hard, and that's, you know, you're gonna have one less guy to do that with if you were to play them.
And in one of those games, they had to rally back because Utah came out just hitting everything.
Yeah.
The Thunder doesn't want to see any of these teams. All these teams are playing better than the Thunder.
Yeah.
They're just, of all the teams that are, well, I'd probably say Minnesota's not playing as well as the Thunder are. I mean, they're scrapping some games together.
Injured star, though, who's going to be back, we assume. Right. You know, and then, like, New Orleans has scuffled a little bit lately as well. They have not been, like, New Orleans, after going on a stretch where they were just awesome, they've been, like, good lately.
Yeah, I'd say even though the Thunder, you know, blew that game tonight against San Antonio, I'd still say that the San Antonio matchup would be advantageous because, one, you're probably not going to get Kawhi.
Right.
And the Spurs are just not a good road team. They're not a good road team.
They're very bad.
And Minnesota's not a good road team either.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Thunder would have a comfort level with the Spurs, and they would have – I feel like if the Thunder played the Timberwolves in a series, it would almost be like, okay, we played these guys a long time ago, and it would be an owe them factor.
Yeah.
Like, we lost some games we weren't supposed to lose against these guys. We were still trying to get our life together, and now we get the opportunity to get them back. And Minnesota's just not a good road team.
So right. The problem is the Thunder's also not a good road team. And so, like, if they don't get the four, then that's where you run into an issue. If you get the four, it matters that those guys are bad on the road. Like, it matters that if you can get the four and play any of these teams, that matters because you are a good home team and you, like, have a good chance. But, like, if you're the five or the six, I mean, like, if you're the six, forget it. Like, they're not beating Portland. That's just, like, that's not going to happen. They might win a game.
I think it's going to be really tough for the Thunder to get the four now because the Spurs have the tiebreaker, which I think they will because they'll have the better conference record.
Yes.
It's going to be really difficult to get. So they're basically saying, look, we got to go get a five now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got to hope that Minnesota blows some of these games that they have against easy teams. And they've got to beat New Orleans.
Yeah.
And they don't have the tiebreaker against New Orleans anyway, so they really have to hope that Minnesota and New Orleans lose some games that they're not supposed to down the stretch. So now
they need a lot of help.
The Thunder's in a bad situation. They put themselves in a bad situation. It's a combination of not winning games they were supposed to in the beginning of the season and just not executing against quality teams down the stretch that they were supposed to, like the Spurs and Boston.
Yeah, and also not winning games they're supposed to win now because, frankly, you're supposed to win the Boston game. You're not going in, but you are. You're supposed to win. When you get – there's no Kyrie, there's no Jaylen Brown, and you get that lead, you're supposed to win the game. And really, honestly, you're supposed to win that Portland game. You're supposed to win that game. I know Portland is better than they are, but you haven't beaten them all year. You got them at home. You're supposed to win that game. You don't like if you're really taking care of business. You beat Portland that night.
Yeah. So, you know, they got to win tomorrow. You don't like prescribing must win stuff, but they got to win tomorrow and they got to win in New Orleans too.
They need both these games. And look, they're better than both these teams. I think. Like I feel weird saying they're better than New Orleans because New Orleans has beaten them twice. But like, gotta remember that one of the games New Orleans beat them. It was on the second night of a back-to-back. Anthony Davis went nuclear, and it's kind of a weird game. I just like their personnel better than New Orleans, but, you know, until they do something about it, until they beat New Orleans, particularly on the road, it's hard to say that they're better.
Yep. How about Mo Cheeks, man?
Kudos to Mo Cheeks. Disappointed.
The bright spot in this Thursday.
Yeah, he will be a Hall of Famer. I believe he's coming back. I believe he's going to be back here in San Antonio this weekend.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Because they will be, that's when they'll actually announce it. And then the Thunder can talk about it. The Thunder, being real sticklers for the rules tonight, would not talk about Mo Cheeks as a Hall of Famer, even though everybody knows that he's going to be one.
Yeah.
Because they're just not going to do it until it's official. Greg Popovich, he doesn't care. He came right out and talked about it. It's the first thing he talked about, how happy he was.
Yeah.
So it's great for Mo. Like, that's a guy who, if you talk to people around basketball, like, he's one of the, and you wrote about this week and talked to Bob Ryan, who's like, you know, Bob Ryan is basically like the commissioner of NBA media. like if you talk to guys like that and guys that saw him play, like, they're like, this guy was a Hall of Famer. It's weird that he hadn't made it yet. So it's good. It's good to see it happen.
Yeah, it was great. And it was just great to talk to people that have been around the game for so long about, you know, how impactful Mo Cheeks was. And just doing research on that story I wrote, it was just fascinating to see just kind of the stuff you come up with. Like, you know, he's 30, I think he was 31st or something like that, all time in playoff field goal percentage. And every guy listed ahead of him was 6'6" or taller. It was like, and Mo Cheeks is 6'1". And this, and I mean, according to Bob Ryan, I didn't go back and watch a bunch of Mo Cheeks film or anything. Like, this guy wasn't making a bunch of layups. You know, he was hitting, he was mid-range. He was living in the mid-range. And this guy shot over 51% from the field for his career in the playoffs. And for 9 straight seasons, he upped his regular season scoring average in the playoffs, won a championship with Philly, you know, was the facilitator and floor general with guys like, you know, Julius Erving and Moses Malone and Bobby Jones, who's another one of his teammates who probably should be in the Hall of Fame. Bobby Jones is was it one of the guys that Billy Cunningham, the former 76ers coach, mentioned, you know, he and Mo Cheeks really changed the team. He told me that. He's like, they changed the team. When those guys came along, they drafted Mo Cheeks, they traded for Bobby Jones. That changed the 76ers. So
one of those guys you mentioned, by the way, Dr. J, I'm not an odds maker, but were I an odds maker, I believe I would set Dr. J as the favorite to induct Mo Cheeks.
I think he should have Russell Westbrook do it. I think that would be funny. And I think it would be good to see Russell Westbrook in a moment where he's actually like having to give, you know, just get up there and just wax poetically about Mo Cheeks and all the contributions he's made to his life and career or whatever. But yeah, I think Dr. J would probably be the one you'd think about. But yeah, I'm happy for Mo Cheeks. Haven't had a ton of experience around him and talking to him, but the couple times I have talked to him, and he's been a solid dude, and it seems that the Thunder really appreciates, you know, everything he's brought to the table for the last, you know, 7-8 years he's been involved with the organization, because he basically helped groom Russell Westbrook and Durant and Harden and, you know, all those young guys. So.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I had not heard this story, and maybe, you know, I haven't been around that long, so he might have told this before, but Billy Donovan was saying tonight, and Billy wouldn't talk about him making the Hall of Fame, but Nick Gallo wisely asked him kind of a general Mo Cheeks question. And he did not know Mo before they had a conversation about coming back here, back on the staff when Billy got the job. But he had met him before, and he met him on the beach in Key West, of all places, because when Billy was the coach at Florida, there was a big Florida booster who had what Billy said was a really nice place in Key West. And he invited the staff to just come down and stay at his place in Key West for the weekend or whatever it was. It was summertime, whatever the time of year it was. And Billy was out walking on the beach, and there was Mo Cheeks. And he just went up and introduced himself. He's a big fan of his when he was younger. Watched him growing up. Billy was a Sixers fan and had this conversation with him. That was the first time they ever talked.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. He's a pretty cool cat. We see him, you know, on the court kind of mixing it up with Russell Westbrook and kind of shooting the stuff with him. I was going to say a bad word.
Yeah.
And also, we see him regularly go toe-to-toe with Russell Westbrook in free throw competition.
Yes.
Mo Cheeks can still shoot free throws. I think he had like a hip surgery a couple years ago, but that dude can still shoot some free throws for sure.
And also, if you're like, if you're just like really, if you like Billy Donovan would like to just kind of like run into Mo Cheeks at some point, just like so you could have a conversation like Billy Donovan did on the beach in Key West. One place where you could do that is Chipotle. That dude goes to Chipotle. I'm just saying.
Oh man, that's for you to run in the Mochis. you have to flag Mochis down and say, "Hey man, look, you got to tell Russell about the three pointers."
Yeah,
just tell him about the three pointers. Can you do that?
I've seen Mochis at Chipotle more than Mochis would probably be like, "You like Chipotle a lot too," because I've seen him there more than I've seen like Kyle Singler at Whole Foods. So that's saying something.
How many times do you think people stop Mochis in the street and say, "Hey, can you tell Russell this?"
Oh, I'm like, sure all the time.
Just can you tell Russell insert this?
Yeah, people tell me. Like, could you make sure the team knows this? No, I couldn't.
Yeah, no, I can't. But you know, Mochis could, but he probably doesn't.
No,
because I don't know. I mean, it's not going to do any good. No. Hey, Russell, some lady at Chipotle told me to tell you to stop shooting threes. All right, Mo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We should start soliciting like from readers and just people who, you know, listen to the podcast, you know, pass along messages. Just messages to pass along to particular people on the team. We should do that one time. Maybe at the end of the regular season we'll do one of those and we'll see how well that goes. Or we just won't do it at all.
Yeah. I mean we could just throw those out to Westbrook. It won't go any worse than anything else we ask him about.
That's true. He seemed like he was in a mood tonight. He was doing that hat thing. He was like, he was moving the hat when Royce asked him about the shot selection.
Yeah, that was the least I've ever understood what he meant by an answer. Because he said, "You know me," and I don't know what that means. Does it mean like, you know me? Like what Royce asked him, for people who didn't see it, like Royce asked him, with those shots that you took in the fourth quarter, do you dwell on those? Do you kind of wish you had them back, or do you just kind of move on? And he said, "What do you think?" And Roy said, "It doesn't matter what I think." Which
it doesn't matter what I
answer.
Think.
Great answer. That should always be the answer to that question. And he said, "You know me." And that was all he said. Then he left. He just kind of decided he was done. Yeah. I mean, like, there was like kind of any more questions, but that was like a cursory thing. He was leaving. That was a courtesy to ask if there were any more questions from Matt Tumbleson, the PR guy, because like Russ was done at that point.
Yeah, because he felt that there were no more questions.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means, you know me, of course I want those shots back, and of course I'm going to be upset about them, or you know me, I'm going to shoot those shots again.
Yeah, I think it means a little bit of both, but he'll never say the former.
Yeah.
He'll never say, "Of course I want those shots back. They were terrible shots." He knows they were bad shots.
Right.
Exactly. Thunder is in fifth place now, right, Brett?
Fifth place. The Spurs, by virtue of holding the tiebreaker, and that is, I want to say conference record, but whatever. They are.
It's conference because they're not in the same division.
So they are in fourth now, and the Thunder is in fifth. And New Orleans is right there, by the way, just hanging right there with them, I think one game behind. So it's all a jumbled mess. Got to beat Denver, and then we can talk about some excitement with New Orleans, where you will be on Sunday.
Now, Thunder could still swing that tiebreaker with the Spurs. They tied 2-2 for the season series. Yeah. If the Thunder does finish with a better conference record, I would definitely not count on that because the Thunder still has to play Golden State and Houston, and they've still got to play Denver and New Orleans.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
This is a very big stretch of games, and it started off not the way they wanted it to. We'll see where it goes from here. I wish I could stay here in a way. If they didn't have a game, I would just put in to stay for the Mochis thing on Saturday, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But back-to-backs and such. So instead, I will be on a very early flight out of here, and I'll be back tomorrow, and we will talk then after the Nuggets game. So thanks for joining me. Thanks to all of you who listened. And who subscribe and also who tweeted us and tell us that you like the podcast. Or, I mean, I guess if you tell us you don't like it, that's fine too, but it's kind of mean. We'll be back after Denver, and we'll be back after New Orleans. So you're going to hear from us a whole lot coming up. I'm so tired. We'll talk to you tomorrow.